This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. 100 years ago, Missouri's population of black bears was thought to be almost extinct. But today, that number is about 1,000, and they are right now waking up from their long hibernation. The revival of Missouri's bears is the result of years of dedicated work. These animals have been carefully monitored and tracked, and sometimes that's meant going into the den of a new mama bear to scoop out her cubs for a quick checkup. To talk about Missouri's bears and the decades of effort to restore their population, I'm joined by Nate Bowersock. He's the coordinator of the Black Bear Program at the Missouri Department of Conservation. Nate, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Now, before we start, I'd like to invite you to call if you have any questions for Nate about Missouri's bears. The number is 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. So, Nate, black bears, they are a native species to Missouri. Why were they considered extinct about 100 years ago?
Yeah, that's a great question. So black bears were found throughout the state of Missouri quite some time ago. And, you know, unfortunately with unregulated hunting and you know, when Missourians were establishing the state, you know, back in the 1800s, we logged the state several times, which is key habitat for bears. And so between habitat augmentation and a lack of regulated hunting, we ended up losing most of our bear population. And we actually thought, yeah, they were extinct or extirpated from the state. And only through some genetic studies in the last several decades have we actually found that we did have a remnant bear population, but only a very small few individuals.
Mm-hmm. And as I understand, before the population recovered, that the last wild bear, a wild black bear sighting in Missouri went all the way back to 1931?
Yeah, that's correct. And you know, we got occasional reports of people seeing bears in the state, but in most cases, people just figured someone saw a black dog or something else and didn't give it much thought. So, you know, now we can say that, well, maybe they did actually see a bear, but we went from being the second most harvested species in the state to essentially very few, if any, bears.
Mm-hmm. What do you know, Nate, about the ripple effects that came about with the loss of Missouri's black bears?
You know, black bears are a species that we kind of look to assess the health of an ecosystem. So if you have healthy, vibrant forests, likely you'll have bears. They tend to avoid people. And they rely on a very wide range of resources to sustain their large bodies. And so a healthy forest would contain a lot of different foods that bears can utilize. And so if you have healthy forests, it's a great way to assess that things are good when bears are around. But when you don't have bears, that's something to get you to think, you know, are our forests actually healthy or not?
Mm-hmm. Now, before we go any further, can you provide us with a mental picture of what a black bear looks like? Because you'd said something about people mistaking, you know, other animals for bears. How is that possible?
Yeah, you know, if you think, you know, before our population was thinned out, you know, it was very common to see bears and folks, you know, you couldn't confuse it for anything else. But once we had fewer bears, you know, people have black dogs and a small bear can arguably be confused for a dog. But, you know, especially our adult bears, you know, they're several hundred pounds and they're, you know, large bodied animals. And so, you know, black bears in general, you know, the name black bear, you know, they're known for their black coats, their short ears, their tan muzzles. Occasionally you'll see a black patch on their chest. And, you know, we're actually really fortunate here in Missouri because we actually have several different color phases in the state. We actually have dark brown bears. We have a reddish color bear that we also refer to as the cinnamon phase, and even bears that are blonde in color. And that comes from Arkansas. We're in the same spot we were, you know, had very few bears, and they wanted to see their population come back. And so they captured bears from Manitoba, Canada, and Minnesota. And brought them down to Arkansas, and those bears mixed with the Arkansas population. And as that population grew and expanded, it mixed with our Missouri population. And so that gene for different coat colors showed up in our bear population. So traditionally, we would have probably just seen black-coated bears here in Missouri, but now we have many different color phases. So it's a pretty unique thing and a pretty awesome thing to see all these different variations of colored bears in our state.
Mm-hmm. Now, the Missouri Department of Conservation recently shared a photo of you holding a baby bear cub, and I think it was black, not cinnamon, which is a lovely way to describe it. And this was a photo that was taken at the den of a black bear. Why were you there, Nate?
Yeah, so we collar bears each year, and to study many different things about them. Everything from their movements, you know, how far do they move on a regular basis? What kind of, from that we can then determine what kind of habitats they're utilizing by evaluating the locations they are at. And then we also then get at the bigger part is the recruitments, or how many cubs does a bear have each year? And then of those litter of cubs they have, how many survive to become older animals and then join part of the population? And so for us to be able to check how well our population is doing and evaluate how quickly it's growing, or maybe how slowly it's growing, we do that through these den checks. So when our collared females do look like they're hibernating, we'll see and I should back up, we put GPS collars on them.
Mm.
And these collars take a point every few hours, so we can see exactly where they're at. And then in the wintertime, we can see those points cluster up around a potential den site. And then that's what guides us in to find the den. And then if conditions are safe for us, then we will give the bear some drugs to immobilize them for their safety and for our safety, and then we'll count how many cubs they have. We'll actually microchip those cubs so we can tell the difference between them, and then we'll set up some trail cameras on the dens so that we can see that, you know, in that the case of the photos that were taken a few weeks ago, that female had three cubs. And come April, she'll likely come out of her den. And then we could see how many of those cubs came out of the den with her. And then we will hopefully try to relocate her next year and then see how many cubs she might have. And then that'll help us assess, you know, how many of those cubs survived, which then helps us evaluate how the bear population is growing.
Mm-hmm. In the time that you've worked with the Missouri Department of Conservation, can you approximate, like, how many of these cubs you've been able to measure and track?
Gosh, that's a great question. So starting, you know, if we go back a little bit, starting in 2010, our bear population had notably grown. We had many different females breeding through the state, and so we started collaring bears then. And so now we're looking at 16 years that we've been catching bears, putting collars on them, and tracking them to their dens. And so we've handled, you know, anywhere from, anywhere 5 to 20 cubs a year, depending on how many animals we have collared and how many dens we're able to safely approach. Because sometimes our bears will den in caves, and those caves are very complex, and for us to safely get into find the bear and make sure the bear is safe itself within the cave, we may not be able to count their cubs. And so there's plenty of cases where we just aren't able to work cubs. But yeah, I'd say we mark, you know, anywhere from 5 to 20 in a season, just depending on our availability. So mm-hmm. That means a lot of animals get marked, and then through our capture operations, every summer we try to catch more bears, and if they're a female, we try to put a tracking collar on them. And if they're a male, we'll put ear tags in them. But we always check to see if they have a microchip in them. And I'd say every year we catch at least two or three bears that look like they're brand new. They've never been touched before. And then we find out, oh, this is a bear that we microchipped as a cub in 2014 or in 2023. So it gives us really great information to see that these animals are surviving and thriving on the landscape. And it's really helpful information.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a very short break here, and I want to invite you to the conversation. Do you have a question or comment about black bears in Missouri? You can reach us at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. We'll be right back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with ursine expert Nate Bowersock. Nate is the coordinator of the Black Bear Program at the Missouri Department of Conservation. Now, before the break, Nate, you were describing how you identify and track black bears in Missouri, and that included going to the dens of these bears to check on their cubs. Now, you also checked the teeth of the adult bear. Why did you do that?
Yeah, so one of the ways we can assess the age of the bear and their health is to check their teeth. So you can look at wear patterns on bear teeth to assess how old they are. They have pretty consistent wear patterns, so we can look at their incisors, their canine teeth, and then their molars. And based on those wear patterns, we can estimate how old they are. And that's really important information for us to have so we can evaluate, you know, what age does a bear give birth? When do we see bears having more cubs and getting those cubs to successfully raise them? You know, just like humans, you know, younger animals tend not to be as attentive or on top of raising their cubs as well as older animals, or some animals just are more reproductively successful than others. And so having information like the age of a bear is important. Now, the most accurate way to evaluate the age of a bear is to actually pull a tooth, and you can actually look at growth rings in their teeth. Some programs do actually extract teeth from bears, but we currently haven't done that for a while. It is a intensive thing to do, and we feel that, you know, aging bears based on the wear pattern of their teeth provides us the information we need. So hence us checking her teeth.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you do that tooth check safely? There was a picture that was shared by the Department of Conservation of you doing that. But can you describe what that process is?
Yeah, so anytime we're working with a bear, we chemically immobilize it. So we give it some drugs that essentially prevent it from moving around. It also helps with it kind of, we call it disassociative, but essentially it helps it to not be so stressed. And under those drugs, they can't really move around a whole lot, and that includes their mouth. And so when they are fully immobilized, that's when we do check stuff like their teeth, because they can't bite us, obviously. Once they start to be able to move around when they come off that drug, that's one of the things that we avoid doing, because we don't want to get injured ourselves. So when the bear is as immobilized and as asleep as it can be, that's when we check its teeth. And that's how we did that. Otherwise, I would not be putting my hands in a bear's mouth whatsoever.
Yes, I certainly hope not. Well, as we move into talking about where these bears are in Missouri, we have Monica, who is calling from Florissant. Monica, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Monica. Yeah, what do you have to share?
Well, I am just super excited about this. I love bears, and I really would like to see one in nature. And I was just wondering, what is the probability sort of seeing one in North County?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, Nate, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, seeing a bear, whether you're in the St. Louis region or where our core bear range is down in you know, the Ozarks, it is tricky. They do not want to be around people if they can help it. So my advice is just to spend time out in the woods, and especially if you get into the fall, bears really like acorns. And so if you can find an area with lots of acorns, you might be able to find one that way. But we would always encourage folks that if you see a bear, very much enjoy that sighting, but you need to give it its space and obviously do not approach it whatsoever and just let it kind of do its thing.
How much space are we talking about here?
The more the better. I mean, when I worked out in Yellowstone National Park, we usually said at least 100 yards if you can help it. That just puts a really nice buffer between you and the animal. And especially if you're hiking by yourself or with a group, you know, the best bet is to see the animal, enjoy it, and then maybe turn around and go the other way. Or if you're in your car or car camping, you know, stay close to your car. And if the bear seems like it's coming close, just hop back in your car, or if you're at home, hop back inside so that you and the bear can't interact with each other.
Mm-hmm. Nate, where should people be particularly aware of the possibility of encountering bears, especially in places where folks might not expect to see them?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, our bear population continues to expand across the state, and so it used to be, you know, you're more likely to run into a bear south of the I-44 corridor. Well, now we have bears north of the I-44 corridor, and we're even seeing bears north of the Missouri River. So, there's a possibility for quite a few places in Missouri, but especially places south of the Missouri River right now. You know, I think there's always a possibility, especially in more rural and more forested areas, for bears to show up. And so if you hear reports of bear activity in the places you live, you know, we strongly encourage people to avoid putting their garbage out for pickup until the morning of. If you have bird feeders, if you start noticing strange activity, maybe pull your bird feeders in. This will help avoid providing food attractants for bears and encourage them to just keep moving. Bears are just looking for food to maintain their large bodies, and if there's a easy food source, they're going to try to take advantage of it. But if it's not there, then they'll just kind of keep moving on.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've mentioned earlier that bears are coming out of hibernation. Are there certain seasons during which there should be like an expectation of greater bear activity? Like, is spring considerably busier as far as bears looking for food than they might be in the summer, for example?
Yeah, we see in the springtime when bears are waking up, we do see more activity of bears near developed areas because the quality of food that is available this time of the year for bears isn't as great compared to later in the year. So right now it's mainly just, you know, green vegetation, grasses and whatnot, which bears can eat and get some nutrition, just like we would get some basic nutrition if we ate grass ourselves. But their guts are like ours. They're more simple. They're omnivores. So they don't get a whole lot from that. But when stuff like, you know, blackberries and currants and other, you know, soft mass becomes available in summertime, that's when we start seeing bears spending more time in the forested areas, less time near people. And so we tend to see less activity from bears as humans during the summertime because bears are finding a lot more natural foods in the forested areas away from us. And then in the fall, it can really vary. If we have a good acorn year, our oak trees, you know, obviously Missouri's covered in oaks and many different species. If we have a good acorn year, the likelihood of seeing a bear will be really low because they're not moving much because there's a lot of really great food. But we definitely see our oak trees go through boom and bust cycles. And in those bust cycles, bears have to move a lot more to look for food. So that's when we start seeing more activity, and which can include in developed areas. So, you know, spring and early spring, late fall is time periods we see a lot more activity of bears. And then kind of that summer period is when we typically see less bear activity.
Mm-hmm. Now, Nate, in the last few years, hunting has become part of Missouri's bear program. Why was that decision made?
Yeah, so our bear population, you know, we had bears throughout the state, and like I mentioned earlier, at one point in time, Missouri, the second most harvested species in Missouri was bears. People traveled actually all over the place back in the 1800s to come to Missouri to hunt bears. There's a lot you can get from a bear. They have a lot of great meat. They're that can be rendered down and used everything from making pastries to treating leather and in tools. And then their hide is very useful. If you think of the England, for example, those big tall hats the English guards wear, that's black bear fur that's used for those hats. And so they're a very desirable species. And there's a healthy hunting culture in North America for bears. And so we were hearing calls from Missourians that they were interested in wanting to hunt bears here in the state. And so after a lot of careful consideration, evaluating of the population, we did establish a bear hunting season in 2021. It's a very heavily regulated season. We only allow a small number of bears to be harvested because we still want to see the population grow and expand across the state. So we do allow hunting to meet the needs of our hunting community, but we do it in a manner that still allows the bear population to grow and expand.
Mm-hmm. And in our last moments together, Nate, what do you envision when you consider how humans and bears can live together?
Yeah, I think bears and humans very much can live together. I mean, well before modern time, humans and bears have lived, cooperatively with one another. And I think the big thing in this modern time is that's still very much possible. It's the big thing is just eliminating unnatural foods for bears. You know, we can very much have a healthy bear population on the landscape of bears eating natural foods. And if we can limit their ability to get unnatural foods, so garbage, animal feed, anything like that, we can see that we can both coexist. And a great program that Missouri takes part in is the BearWise program. It's a nationwide program that provides information on how people can live responsibly with bears. And there's a lot of really great content that we have both on the MDC website, but also if you go to bearwise.org, you can find really great information from just what is a black bear, learn about their ecology, but then also what to do if you live in the heart of bear country and want to make sure that you can live comfortably with bears around.
Mm-hmm. Nate Bowersock is the coordinator of the Black Bear Program at the Missouri Department of Conservation. Nate, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.